Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at one verse, verse 8. Keep your Bibles open because verse 8 will give us our topic. And we need to look at some other verses of Scripture this morning to understand how to accomplish what we see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to gather together as a church family, to hear the words of God. Father, I pray for those that are in the nursery that you'll bless the work that's being done there today with safety and with love, with care and with protection. And may those little children that are there already begin to understand that church is a good place to be with God's people and in the safety and protection and love and care of those who love you. Father, we pray for Tony and the work that's being done in junior church today. And those that are helping him, Father, I pray that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit and impart to those children these great words of truth that in a way that they may be able to understand them and live by them and change by them. And then, Father, I pray that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit today and help us to clearly understand the verse of Scripture that we're reading today and the verses that apply to it. And, Father, may we be instructed and corrected, reproved and helped by these things so that we may be pleasing to you and may live lives, Father, according to the truth that we're learning today, whereby you can accomplish in us those things that you desire. And we ask you to do all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul is speaking to us and he says, "You were sometimes darkness." So anybody that has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior is in darkness. And that's not somebody who says, you know, I believe in Jesus, I go to church, I was raised in church. That's a person who is religious. But he's talking about here is a child of God, not just somebody that believes in God or believes the Bible is true, or believes in Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Not those things, but a person who has really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, a person who has now been born again, that person is now a child of light. He is light in the Lord, light in the Lord. And the reason that this verse is worded like this is that when you read in John chapter 1, for instance, and John the Baptist is introducing Jesus Christ to the world is in darkness. And so let's just say that where this microphone is on the pulpit is the dividing line. Genesis 1, God divided the light from the darkness. This is the dividing line. So everything on this side of the line is darkness in the world, and it could be pitch black or it could be close to the line, but no matter where it is in here, it's in darkness because it's divided from the light. And then everything on this side is in the light. Light in the Lord, children of light. So anybody who has not yet been born again, who's not saved, is a child of darkness, living in a dark world. And over here, anybody who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and been saved, he's a child of light. He's light in the Lord. So that's the deal. In Acts chapter 26, just turn there with me, if you would. Acts chapter 26, and notice in Acts chapter 26, Paul is describing his ministry, and he's describing it to King Agrippa. And in Acts chapter 26, Festus is there, not gun smoke. And King Agrippa is there with his wife. And Paul, in describing his ministry, in verse 18 says this, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Jesus Christ. Now that's a tremendous calling, as a tremendous explanation of what he was doing and what we do. Paul said that when Jesus called him to open their eyes, because they didn't realize that they were in darkness, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Jesus Christ said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So when Paul's preaching and he knows they're in darkness, if he can turn them from that darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, then their sins will be forgiven and they'll have an inheritance when they're sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. So Satan is the ruler of the darkness of the air. But the thing that's difficult about Satan's rule of the darkness of the air is that he is very clever. He transformed himself into an angel of light. So people that are here in darkness who are following the devil actually believe that they're in light. And they're not. And so Paul says, I had to open their eyes so they could see, whoa, this is darkness. And what over there is light. Now Jesus Christ is true light, and once you're saved, and know that you're saved, you look back on that and go, but that was not salvation. I remember talking to a very religious person. It's been a number of years ago. He was raised in the same religion that I was raised in. We were both raised in the Catholic Church. And when I showed him the scriptures on how to receive Jesus Christ, his need of salvation, he saw that. He said, I want Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. But after he did, he was mad. And I thought, uh-oh, what did I, you know, it's always that way. You're kind of, well, what did I say? He said, no, I'm not mad at you at all. I said, well, who are you mad at? He said, I'm mad at the priest. And I said, why? Because he said, if I had gone on believing what I had been told for the rest of my life, I would have died in darkness and gone to hell, which is also described by the Lord as outer darkness. And he said, I'm mad because he never told me this. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go down there and confront him about it. I said, okay, well, see how that goes. But he recognized something. He thought he was in light, and he wasn't. He was in darkness. When he got into the light, then he could see clearly. That was not light. That was darkness. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, you don't need to turn there, says, we are children of light. And Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8, therefore we are to walk as children of light. In other words, if I am in the light, I have been saved, and the light of the glorious gospel is in me and now shines in my heart, then, you know, he says, then walk as children of light. Don't walk like you did when you were in darkness. How do you do that? I think that's a great, don't you think that's great advice? I believe that's a great admonition to us. Walk as children of light. Say, great. Then how do I do that? That's the question we're going to answer today. How do I do that? Well, first of all, if you're not saved and you're in darkness, the way to do that is to now trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and come into the light. That's the beginning of that. And you can do that today. I'm not going to preach the gospel, but I will say very clearly, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He came because He loved you. He came to die on the cross for your sins, to pay for something you couldn't pay for. He's already been to hell, so you don't have to go there now. And He's risen from the dead to prove to you that the eternal life He is offering is real. And if you will trust Him today, He will save you from sin, from hell, from that darkness, and make you a child of light. When we get to the end of this message, I will offer an invitation for you to trust Him. And if you say, you know what, I need that, after you hear what you hear today, our associate pastor will gladly sit down with you and show you, answer any questions you may have about that, show you clearly the gospel in just a matter of minutes, that you may knowledgeably and faithfully trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you become a child of light. All right, now once you are, then here's how you walk in that light. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First thing, how do I walk as a child of light? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The first way you do it is, listen, by fellowship with God. By fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. So the way that I can walk in the light as a child of light is by fellowship with God. If I'm having fellowship with one of you, am I aware that we are having fellowship? Yeah, and you are too. We're exchanging things and communicating, and we see each other in the same room. Perhaps we may be taking a trip together or something like that. Yeah, you're aware of that. And likewise, when you're having fellowship with God, you are aware that you're having fellowship with God, and He's aware that He's having fellowship with you. Now, we live our Christian lives in the world, and the world is filled with distractions, and there are many times when we are doing things here that we may not be aware that we are in fellowship with God. Mentally, we've been taken out of that. So what we're talking about here is then a spiritual awareness, a mental, emotional, a spiritual awareness that God and I are having fellowship together at this time. Now watch this. So He and I will get up in the morning, let's say, and read my Bible. That's a great way to turn the light on. You know, when you get up to do everything else in your house, if you get up before the sunrise, you turn the lights on. All right, well, when you get up in the morning and you open that Bible, you turn the light on. And you spend some time in prayer. Now you have begun your day in fellowship with the Lord. Now you and the Lord are having fellowship. Man, this, you know, just talking to the Lord and doing what you do. And so you're going along, and something in the darkness of the world attracts your attention. And you're like, you know, I kind of want to go over this way. And the Lord says, I don't want to go there. And I said, well, I want to keep fellowship with you. If you don't want to go over there, then let's don't go over there. He said, I think that's a good idea. Let's just don't go over there. And you keep on walking. And that fellowship with the Lord provides you with a constant awareness of places that God wants to be with you and places that He doesn't want to be with you. And thoughts that He appreciates and thoughts that He doesn't appreciate. And things that you say that He likes to hear coming out of your mouth, and things that you want to say that He doesn't like to hear coming out of your mouth. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, the Bible says. And when you're in fellowship with the Lord, you've got something in you that wants to say something, and He's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And you say, you know, you're right. Because I don't want to do anything that offends or affects my relationship with Him at that time that would cool it off in any way. So we walk as children of light by maintaining fellowship with God throughout the day, every day. A conscious awareness that we are in fellowship with God. And the beautiful thing is, since we're not perfect, there are times when we're going to sin. And He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Why is that important? Because that maintains our fellowship with the Lord. Listen, when you get crosswise with your spouse, how's the fellowship? Usually it's strained, right? And when you make up, then that removes that strain of that temporarily broken or affected fellowship. You say, I'm sorry, you know, that I did that. And boy, I mean, it's right back on. Right in step. Supposed to be anyway. If it's not, I'll give you the name of somebody. He'd pay him $100 an hour and he'll help you work that out in your life. That's how it works. And the same way with the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what He gives us in order for us to be able to maintain that. But listen, He says, if we say in verse 6, we have fellowship with Him and we're walking in darkness, we're lying. We're lying and do not the truth. And then, notice He says we have fellowship one with another. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. How do we walk in the light? How do we do that? Well, we first of all have fellowship with God. We start our day in fellowship with Him and continue throughout the day in fellowship with Him. You can work and do the things that you do in this world, so can I, with a conscious awareness of maintaining that continual fellowship with Him. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. The Bible says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? All right, that's a question I want to ask you. What communion does light have with darkness? It has none. If you're in a dark room developing a photograph back in the old days, you know, some of these illustrations are dated. If you're in a dark room developing film from your camera, cameras used to have film in them, and somebody comes in and opens the door and light comes in, your film has now been exposed to the light and it will no longer show you a beautiful picture that was on it. It's going to show you the effect of all that light that just came in and exposed that film. There's no fellowship, there's no communion with light and darkness at all. None. So we walk in as children of light by fellowship with God. Listen, and secondly, by fellowship with God's people. By fellowship with God's people. What communion hath light with darkness? Everybody in this room has some experience with what I'm going to say to some degree. After you got saved, if you lived in the world any period of time after you got saved, your friends that were in the world were still in darkness, and now you were a child of light. And you know something? If you went back to maintain your communion with them, suddenly they were wanting to talk about things you didn't want to talk about anymore and go places you didn't want to go anymore, right? And honor and glorify things that you weren't comfortable with anymore. And really and truly what's happened was, for most of us, it was just a slow period of transition, kind of like a rheostat. Remember what a rheostat is? A light switch, you just hit it and all the light comes on. A rheostat, the light intensifies slowly as you move the switch up or down. Okay? And so with us, we got that light, but we were all in the world, and then slowly, it's like the sun rising, brighter, 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 until it was standing right over you in a full bright light. And man, when you had full bright light in you, and you got around your friends, a lot of them just said, sayonara, man, we don't want anything to do with you anymore at all. And you know what happened? Then you picked up with new friends. You started meeting some folks that had been walking in the light and fellowship with God. You say, you know what, I kind of like this company better than that company. As a matter of fact, this company is a strength to me. This company is a strength to me. Now, I know we always do this, but why not? Hurry, real quick. Let's get Joey and Kate and Aurelian and Jacob here all real quick. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You guys are so slow. How come you're not up here? I'm really doing this because these are the guys that had the sleepiest eyes. Okay. All right, all over here. These are all my buddies. These are my new Christian friends. Give me some room to walk with y'all. Okay, and I'm having communion with these guys. All right, let's just say that the effects of darkness in the world are causing me to want to pull out and be attracted to the things of the world, and these guys are not being attracted to that. When I catch myself and realize that I am now out of fellowship with God and I'm beginning to strain in my fellowship with them, and I decide that, recognize that I, because of this sin in my life or this darkness in my life, I need to now get right. Look at the strength of this. Look at the strength of this. These guys are still standing right. These guys are still walking in the light. It's real easy for me to find my place in communion with those that are in light, it's real easy for me to find that and stay strong in my walk. And if he feels that little tug coming like that, I say, hey man, how you doing? And boom, right back. Because everybody, all in this line, like infantry, we're standing strong as we maintain fellowship with each other. Now, if he flakes out and he flakes out and then he flakes out, we're all going down, right? It's like the dominoes, bang, bang, bang. We're not going to, you know, pretend that up here. It's like that. And so, what do we? We all come to church. Listen, in your life, you come to church regularly. And there is a strength in the fellowship that you have and in the communion you have with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the light. You skip church for a month, right? And you might skip it for a lifetime. There's strength in this. This helps me walk in light and helps each of these guys walk in light. Okay, thank you. Now y'all can stay awake for the rest of the sermon. How do I do this? By fellowship with God, by fellowship with God's people. They're a strength to me. Luke 11. How do we do this? How do we walk in light? By fellowship with God, because He's light and in Him is no darkness at all. By fellowship with God's people, because light has no communion with darkness. Luke 11:34, 35 and 36. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is, what are the next three words? Full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. It's like waking up in a dark room, flipping the light on, and boom, the whole room is suddenly filled with light. All right, now he says the light of the body is the eye, and then he says if thine eye is single. What's he talking about? Very simply, who made your eye? The Bible says the seeing eye. God hath made the seeing eye, and He's made the hearing ear. God made your eye. And it's very intricate, knows how it works and everything. All right, when your eye is single, listen, here's what it's doing. It is looking at the things that God wants you to see and looking at those things the way that God wants you to see them. That's a single eye. It is looking at what God wants you to see and looking at what you're seeing the way God wants you to look at it. That's a single eye. Anything else is an eye that's evil. So wouldn't you know that the devil's main way of tripping up people is with what things they can see? You go back there in the Old Testament and the Jews went out into the wilderness under Moses, and Moses went up into that mountain to commune with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and they couldn't see Him. And they turned to Aaron and said, up, make us gods and take us back to Egypt. So he made a golden calf that they could see, and when they saw it, they worshipped it. And that's why the Lord said, don't make these things. When the Jews went into the promised land, He said, I want you to destroy their temples. I want you to destroy their idols. I want you to destroy their, listen, pictures. Their pictures. You know what we used to call the movies? The picture show. The pictures. Why? Because you will be inclined to follow those things. In Jeremiah's day, the Lord said, dig through the wall. I want you to dig through the wall. I want you to look in there and see what they're doing. There were pictures portrayed up on the wall, and the men were worshiping those pictures. The Pharisees were only concerned about being seen by men. Men look on the outward appearance. And so they were doing things to be seen of men. Their hearts were very wicked and very evil. So a single eye looks at what God wants you to see and looks at it the way that God wants you to see it. So don't you know today we have cell phones, we have internet, we have billboards, we have all movies, we have televisions, and all of these are ways that the devil can subtly, and the world can subtly present darkness to you, mistaken for light, and put an evil, and with an evil eye, take you out of the light. Man, I tell you, I can't tell you how absolutely important that is. You go along, and if you know there's something that God doesn't want you to see, or there's something that He wants you to see, but not the way you're looking at it, then you have to stop yourself right then, or darkness will settle in here. And He says, when that darkness settles in here, your whole body is full of darkness. Oh man, I mean, you just go back there. You know what convinced Eve to eat that fruit? Finally, she saw the tree, that it was good for food. A tree to be desired to make one wise. A tree pleasant to the eyes. And she ate. David is up there when he should have been in war, when they were fighting against the Ammonites. He looked down and he saw Bathsheba bathing. And when he saw her, he desired her. And then look what happened to him. Absolutely. I mean, boy, it's thank God for the sure mercies of David. But look at the mess that it created for that child, for Bathsheba, for his household, for the rest of his reign. It's tragic. Why? It's all because one day he looked at something he wasn't supposed to see and acted on what he saw. And a whole body was full of darkness. You want to walk in light? You better watch that eye. And I mean watch it carefully. You say, well, I have such little control over that. Then get you a flip phone. And get rid of your computer. And get rid of your TV. You say, well, I don't know that I could do without it. You can do without it. There's more news in that Bible than there is on television. If you really want to find out what's going on. Keep your eyes single. All right, turn to John chapter 3. I'll show you something else. How do you do it? By fellowship with God? By fellowship with God's people? By keeping your eyes single? Just looking only at those things God wants you to see the way God wants you to see them. John chapter 3, look at verses 19 through 21. This, of course, follows the great verse 16, but look what he says here. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That's why they killed Jesus Christ. Because, why did they do that? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You know, the guys that went out last night and got drunk, got stoned, robbed somebody, committed fornication and all the other wicked things that happened on Saturday night, they none of them in here this morning. Why? They hate this. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You don't want anybody telling you the next day everything you did last night, everything you thought last night, everything you said last night, everything you ate last night, everything you drank last night, God despises. So they don't come in here. They go at night to dark places to do the wicked things they do. Because they hate the light. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. How do you walk in the light? Do the truth. Do the truth. I really like that. When you think about it, I said, well, I've never thought about doing the truth. I've heard about believing the truth. What do you mean, do the truth? Do the truth. Well, the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You read in the Bible and God shows you something, you say, man, that's good. I wish I could do that. Go do it. Well, that's the comment. I've given you old illustrations. I'll give you one that's more recent. Just do it. You know what I have found? If I read my life, I found that when I read something that God shows me He wants me to do and I just go do it, it's amazing how that just solves the problem. This may be just such a simple illustration, you might think that was corny. It may be corny to you, but it's not corny to me. Okay? I have a couple, they're real good friends of mine. And as a show of appreciation for something that I did for them, they gave me a book. I love to read books. I love to read the Bible, but I also like to read books, histories, and biographies and things. This happened to be a novel. I don't read novels. And the reason I don't read novels is because that's somebody's imagination about things that aren't real, about people that aren't real, but they have names and they're real places and real. But I don't like to read that because the whole thing is imaginary. None of it's true. And the second thing, if it's any kind of a thriller, it has a pull on you, so once you start reading it, you can't put it down. Because you really got, man, I got to find out what happened. And it's like you're really trying to find out something that happened when nothing happened. It's all fake. It's all a story. So I, as a courtesy to them, I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and read this novel because I appreciate the people and I appreciate the gesture. So I started reading it, and the other day I was reading it, and I told Anna, I said, really got to get to bed early. I want to be good and rested. She goes, it's 10:30. And I said, I know, I'm just about, she said, it's 10:35. I said, you're right. Because I really got to get to sleep, and I'm already later than I wanted to be. But the thing up yesterday, I got up and I'm reading, just having a wonderful day, reading, praying about some things, had a nice walk, enjoyed a smoothie with Anna. And I'm thinking, now if I really get all these things done that I need to do, then I can read that. And it was messing me up, man. I was trying to hurry up with some things that I really enjoy doing with the Lord because of that thing. You know what I did? I got that book and I threw it in the trash can. Amen. So what'd you do that right? Because I couldn't do the truth and do that. You say, well, don't you appreciate those people? I love those folks that gave that to me, but I don't love that book. It was messing me up. It was like, and I said, you know what? I can't do the truth and do that. So gone. Now, I'm not telling you that it's like I'm a hero of some story. We all struggle. Well, listen, everybody in this room struggles with those kinds of pulls. If it's not that, it's another thing. But all those things have a tendency to rush that sweet fellowship that you're enjoying with God and those preparations that you have in your heart. Anything that has that kind of pull on you, you just need to throw it in the trash. Because it's affecting your ability to do the truth. Now, if you know, right now the Holy Spirit's probably talking to you, there's something you're doing in your life that's not the truth, then you know what's happened? You're dragging yourself into darkness where people who have evil deeds do bad things. Cut that out. Stop that. As we said to the other day, we were doing the Bible studies, take that option off the table. Your life will be a lot easier if you just say, well, I'm not going to allow myself to do that. It makes it so easy. And then if the Lord's showing you, I've been on you to do this thing that's true, then start doing that thing that's true. You will be amazed at how much better your train runs on the tracks when you do it the way God said to do it. You ever hear a train that runs on tracks that need to be serviced? Clang, 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 clang. That's the way Christian lives sound sometimes. Oh, how are things going? Oh, they're doing clang, 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 clang. Doing great, clang, 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 clang. I say, why do I hear this clinging and clanging in your life? Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. How do we do it? How do we walk as children of light? Fellowship with God, fellowship with God's people. Keep your eyes single, do the truth, and then this. This is all these are so good. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 12. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 12. The night is far spent. Boy, and that's true. How many of y'all been looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to return for about the last 30 years? Boy, me too. Well, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We just talked about that. And watch this. Let us put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. How do I walk as a children of light? Wear the armor of light. Now, what you're going to find, if you're thinking about your life each day as you're going in fellowship with God, there are times when you find yourself in circumstances or in situations where it is easier for you to be attacked spiritually than at other times. You know, when you're at home under your own dominion and you're safe and things are going on well with your family and so forth like that, maybe the spiritual attacks are not as intense. But when you're out and under certain areas where you have weaknesses, like women's clothing stores in the mall if you like to shop or something like that, that doesn't affect me. Bobby's over there, doesn't affect me. But I know some people that can be affected by that. Let me come over here. Or whatever it may be, you have access to the armor of light. You know, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, shield of faith. loins girded about with the truth, feet preparation of the gospel of peace, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have that armor, and it's armor of light that's available to you at any time. And boy, I'll tell you, if at a moment when you sit, something has now just shown up that wants to pull your eye or pull your wallet or pull your affection or whatever, you at that very moment recognize, I am at this moment in a spiritual war to draw me back into darkness. I now put on the armor of light. I am going to resist with this light against that temptation. And man, I'm going to tell you what, that will strengthen you. That will strengthen you. It will help you to continue to walk as a child of light. Soldiers don't always wear their armor. And they go into battle, they put on their armor, they come out of battle, take the armor off, and they rest. And we have to do the same thing. We rest. But boy, I'm going to tell you, when you find yourself in that situation, if you will consciously don that armor and recognize, this is a spiritual war. This is where that angel of light can trip me up. That's where this darkness of the world can try to invade. I'm going to be strong here and fight this thing. You'll get through it. You'll get through it. And you will walk through that as a child of light. You go, wow, that is amazing. But be ready. Be ready. You have an adversary. There will be another episode. It's kind of like going through a speed trap and you just, whoa, whoa, I slowed down just in time. Well, thank God for that. Speed back. Whoa, there's another one. They did that to you on purpose because they knew you'd speed back up and caught you. All right, and then let me give you this last piece right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Isn't this good? So practical. Oh, it's so practical. I mean, I'm loving it. I look at this, I think, wow, this is so good. The Bible just has all these answers. It's going to help us so much. I'm glad to know I'm a child of light. I'm glad to know I'm going to heaven, and I'm glad I got a way to be able to walk through this dark world till I get there. All right, walk as children of light. How are we going to do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to do it, listen, by letting your light shine. Letting your light shine. All right, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So you go back there to Genesis chapter 1, everything in the universe is dark. And God said, let there be light. And God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That same God who commanded that light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have, it says, this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So let your light shine. How do I walk as a child of light? Just, turn this on. What do you have in there, a 250-watt bulb? Get that thing. I mean, get in there, get in all these things we've been talking about. Get that thing where it is fire hot. Boo, like that, and then walk into the darkness. And people who love darkness rather than light, they go, whoa, I don't want anything to do with that guy. And people who are looking, listen, people who are looking for light in their lives, they'll say, tell me something about Jesus. Tell me something about Jesus. You see, we are ambassadors for the same light that affected us. We live in a world, if you would read up there in verse 4, we won't, there, the God of this world is blinding the minds of those that are in this dark world. And when we let that light shine in us, now listen, we have gone on offense. We've gone on offense. You go by, if the light in you is so intense that they see that's not the man, that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in that man, and you come to somebody and you say something about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens sometimes? Well, it'll happen any time that somebody's looking for light. They'll say, I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to know more about that. And now you're on the offense. Now what you've done is you've taken this battle which is against you because you know the devil is the ruler of the darkness of the air. You know that the devil is the one that's keeping him blinded in the darkness. You say, let me shine a little light and take one of his. That's what the Lord came down here to do anyway, isn't it? Every one of us that got saved was in darkness, and thank God for the light that was in somebody that helped us find Jesus Christ whereby we could be saved through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's what happened to me when a young man gave a testimony about his relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't tell you the man's name. But I can tell you about his Savior because I told Rocky, the chaplain of our school, I said, whatever relationship he has with Jesus Christ is not the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, and I want what he has. I am living testimony that if somebody's light shines bright enough, they can see Jesus in you. They don't need to be looking at me. If they look at me, they're going to be sadly disappointed. He said, how do you know that? I have to look at myself in the mirror every morning. I'm like, wow, what a disappointment. But if you could see Jesus in me, what? Now there's something. There's something. That's the glorious gospel that brings others to Christ. That's a good thing. So go on the offense. Go on the offense. Let your light shine. You don't have to be embarrassed. I know nobody in the world wants to know that I'm a Christian. Hey, just shine it up. You know, like, remember those big searchlights at night where the carnival comes to town? Just be one of those. Wow, people are like, whoa, I wonder what's going on over there. Oh, it's a Christian. You know. But some of them will stick because they want to see. They want to see where that light's coming from. They know you're not capable of producing it. They want to know who is, and they'll find Jesus. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Man, we can live like that. Say, how do I walk as a child of God? Have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God's people. Keep your eyes single. Do the truth. Wear the armor of light. And let your light shine. And you can do it. Father, we're so thankful today to hear this simple little instruction from the words of God. What a profound book this is. What great truth we're seeing here today. Father, I'm encouraged, and I pray our folks here are encouraged today. We're so thankful that you brought us out of darkness into the light. What a joy. It's so good to be saved. So thankful, Father, that that decision is now resting in Jesus Christ, and we've got that taken care of. And so glad that we can live abundantly enjoying the light that's in us, and from time to time having an effect on somebody else who needs the same light that's within us. Now, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Simple question. If you've been here any length of time, you're real familiar with it. But I got to know, is there anybody here today? Preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I need what you're talking about. I need the light of Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand right now? Randy Knuppel, our associate pastor, is in the back. He will gladly sit down with you, show you the gospel quickly, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just be brave enough to say, you know something, I don't have that light now, but I want it. I want Jesus. Anybody? Raise your hand right now and let us know. Okay? You're here today, and you are a child of light, but you hadn't been living in the light. You hadn't been living in the light. You've been living in a storm under a black cloud. Lightning and thunder all around you, and there's been no peace with that at all. Walking in the darkness of this world, you need to get out of that. You need to get back into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've just heard how to do it. You walk out of here today following what you've heard, and your life will be so much better. And let's say you're here today and you've been walking in the light, but you got a little more instruction on how to make it more intense, how to really stay in it. Father, take all these things we've heard today and help us to walk and live by those things we've heard. For we ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.